Senator Bernie Sanders joins us, and nice to have you on the program, Senator. We had a chance to talk to your wife. What a delightful woman she is.
Well, you talked to the brains in the family. Now you got the other guy, so.
You know, one of the things I asked her was when you originally met her, if you had game, and, you know, when you were, did you hit on her? And she said, yes, you did. And your approach, your flirt line was, hey, are you hungry?
That's true. That's right.
So much for the Bernie dating video.
Right.
All right, so listen, I am fascinated by your rise here. And, again, I talked to your wife about this a little bit, and I think she shares that equal fascination. But one thing I really respect about you is I believe everything you say, everything that comes out of your mouth, you believe, and I don't know anybody else in politics like that. So I salute you for that.
Well, it's very kind of you, and I thank you very much. You know, obviously we have competed in many, many primaries and caucuses. We've now won 8 of them, but the one, in a certain sense, that's most gratifying was one of my own home state. To speak to your point, we won that primary, that caucus primary, actually, with 86% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it does say something that when the people who know you best, and in Vermont they know me pretty well, give you 86%, it maybe speaks to the point you just made, is that not everybody in Vermont agrees with me, but they know that I've been consistent. And they know that I've been honest in the fights that I've waged, and I believe what I say.
And this is not new stuff for you, if I believe our mutual friend, Senator Durbin. Now, we know Senator Durbin supporting Hillary, but you guys in the Senate, you know, your colleagues, obviously.
Yes, we are. And I have a lot of respect and affection for Dick Durbin. He's a good friend of mine. And an excellent senator for the people of Illinois.
But he said the same thing. And the interesting thing he said a week or two ago when he was on the show, he goes, there's nothing Bernie has said, and this goes to the consistency. He said, there's nothing Bernie has said on the campaign trail that I haven't heard him yell at me at lunch about over the last 30 or the last several years.
That's true. Look, what I have always believed is that we have got to create an economy that works for all of us. And that way, when we have an economy today in which the top 0.1% now owns almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%, when 20 people own more wealth than the bottom 150 million people, when the average American is working longer hours for low wages and almost all new income and wealth is going to the top 1%, you know what? You could be a conservative, you could be a progressive, you could be anything you want to be. But that type of economy is not the kind of economy we need here in the United States of America. And that's what I've been saying for a long time, and that's what I'm saying today. And the other thing that I've been talking about is I believe in democracy. You want to disagree with me, you want to vote against me, that's fine. That's part of what America is about. But you don't have the right to buy elections just because you're a billionaire. And that's why I believe we've got to overturn this disastrous Citizens United Supreme Court decision and actually move to public funding of elections. I want a vibrant democracy. I want us to have more people voting percentage-wise than any other country on earth, not one of the lowest voter turnouts. So these are themes that I have been talking about in Vermont for decades. Dick Durbin has heard me talk about it in the Senate. The American people now are beginning to hear me talk about it.
Yeah, and to your point about the election mess in this country, there's a reason, this is my words, not yours, there's a reason that Donald Trump can exist in this crazy system that we have. This doesn't have to take a year. This doesn't have to cost $1 billion for the winners of both parties' nominations. It's ridiculous. It's a colossal waste of money, and there's got to be a better way to do it. And I hope if anything comes out of this election process is that the system needs to be blown up. The problem, Senator, and you know this, is the people that have benefit most from this system are the ones making the rules, and they would be the ones that would have to change it.
Well, I think you are absolutely right. And the facts are pretty clear. I live 50 miles away from the Canadian border in Burlington, Vermont. They have an elections, I think it takes them 3 months from beginning to end. And throughout Europe, it's the same thing. This thing goes on, and it becomes a marathon race.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose the winner ends up indicating and showing the country that he or she has more endurance than the opponents, but not necessarily the qualifications to be president of the United States. You're right. It is a pretty crazy process. And the other thing, and your point is right, spot on, why does it cost more than $1 billion to become president of the United States? And who's going to fund that $1 billion? Now, one of the differences between Secretary Clinton and myself is I have chosen not to have a super PAC. She has several super PACs. She's raising millions of dollars from Wall Street. My average contribution is $27. We have 5 million individual campaign contributions. But we have got to change our campaign finance system. It is corrupt. Billionaires are now having incredible influence. Number two, as you've indicated, we've got to change the political process. And let me go on record here as telling you I will do everything that I can to end this voter suppression, the effort on the part of Republican governors to actually make it harder for people to participate in the political process. We have got to make it easier, not harder. I want to see a large voter turnout, not a low voter turnout.
Senator, you have amazing support among the young voters. And since 2008, there have been a record number of younger voters turning out to vote in primaries and the general elections as well. What do you think, what to attribute all of the youth vote, the younger support that you've been getting? I mean, we saw it in Iowa and New Hampshire and feel the burn. I mean, the momentum that you have.
Well, I think two reasons. So, by the way, it is not just young people. It is young people. You're right. But it's also working class people. I think what the polls indicate and what some of the exit polls and elections are indicating is that we're doing very well for working class people as well. I think there are two reasons. And I should tell you, by the way, that when we began this campaign, I had no idea that this would be happening. It's as big a surprise to me, frankly, as it is to anybody else. But it is true. And I think there are two reasons. Number one, almost by definition, young people are idealistic. And they look at this world and they say, why is it that so few have so much and so many have so little? And that's not right. They look at issues like institutional racism, a broken criminal justice system. Look at issues like sexism and why women are making 79 cents on the dollar compared to men. They look at climate change and they say, how can it be Republicans deny what the entire scientific community is saying, that climate change is real and caused by human activity? And that's one thing. It is the idealism of young people. The second thing is, it's very personal to them. If we do not change this economy, the young people, in all likelihood, will have a lower standard of living than their parents for the first time in the modern history of America. And some of these kids are going to be graduating school $30,000, $50,000, $100,000 in debt. And they ask me, why is it? You tell us to go out and get an education. You tell us that America needs the best educated workforce in the world. And then we end up $80,000 in debt and we're paying off that debt for decades. Is that right? And the answer is no. It's absurd. It is not right. So I think the issues that we've been raising, plus the idealism of the young people, is why we're doing so well.
Well, one of my major beefs with the last two presidents, because I'm tired of both parties, is that you're not elected president of the Democrats or president of the Republicans. You're elected president of the United States. So for people who hear your message and think it's too strident or too left, how are you going to deal with the Republicans if you win the job?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's quote-unquote too left. I think on every issue we have talked about, you get beyond labels, get beyond left and right, all that stuff. Let's talk about it. I want to raise the minimum wage to a living wage. You know what? Overwhelming majority of Americans agree with that. I want to rebuild our crumbling infrastructure. Is there anybody in America who is not shocked and disgusted by what's going on in Flint, Michigan, where children are being poisoned with lead in the water? Now, Flint may be the worst case, but this is going on all over the country in terms of deteriorating water systems. In my state, we have many bridges which are collapsing, true all over America. We got a rail system, used to be the best in the world. It no longer is. You got levees and dams, airports that need repair. Anyone think that's a good idea? I want to invest $1 trillion to rebuild our infrastructure, put 13 million people to jobs, back to work. People overwhelmingly support that idea. Public colleges and universities, putting a tax on Wall Street speculation so that we can make public colleges and universities tuition-free, overwhelmingly supported by the American people. Pay equity for women. Does anyone think it's right that women are making 79 cents on the dollar compared to men? No, I don't think so. People agree with that. Climate change. Well, I know my Republican colleagues think climate change is a hoax, but the entire scientific community strongly disagrees with them and sees climate change is one of the great threats to our planet.
So the larger point is here, there's plenty of bipartisan stuff to work with, and you don't hate Republicans.
Of course I don't hate Republicans.
Right, but I think it needs to be said out loud, you know, because that's the type of thing that people can paint you with and that type of broad brush. I know we're out of time, but Andrea, one last question for Senator Sanders.
Senator, if you get the nomination or if Hillary gets the nomination, how do you beat Donald Trump?
Well, the last poll that I've seen here in Michigan, for example, has me 22 points ahead of Trump in Michigan. That's true in many other states. Nationally, CNN had a poll that had us 12 points ahead of Trump. And by the way, in most instances, my lead over Trump is larger than Clinton's. Look, I don't think the American people want to elect a president like Trump who insults Mexicans, who insults Muslims, who led the so-called Birther movement, insulting the entire African-American community, trying to delegitimize President Obama. I don't think they want a president who's trying to divide us up. And I think our message, our agenda, will in fact resonate with the American people and will be one that will lead to a very large victory.
Senator Bernie Sanders, he is running hard in Illinois like he is throughout the Midwest over the next couple of weeks. Safe travels, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.